Well, good morning. It's very nice to be back at Epping. I was just thinking as I was sitting there with my wife, Beverly, that there are one or two here I've known for more than 50 years. Now, that's a bit scary, isn't it? Some we've known for 40 years, but relationships go back a long way. Coming from Family Ministries at Greater Sydney, I enjoy talking about families. And today our focus is on the caring aspect of family. I've called it cameo. A cameo is, well, many of you ladies have worn cameos. Brooches with the one colour on front, the other colour on the back. But a cameo is a snapshot in time. That's how I'm using that word today. And we're going to look at how families are discipled, how children are discipled. Have you ever been left a will? No? No one's ever been? Oh, yes. Okay. We've got one or two nods here. You know what a will is? Well, I've only ever been left something in two wills. One, I never got anything for it because the solicitor, sorry about solicitors, but the solicitor over 40 years almost got it because he couldn't find the family. That's the story. The other will was my mother's. It wasn't probably a legal document because she was dying of cancer and she simply wrote on three pages what each of the family were to get. And I was the bookworm of the family, six children in the family, so I received the books from Mother. And I still have some of those books in my library. One I treasure is Ministry of Healing. It's got K.M. Curry, the date she brought it, and in that book are beautiful promises that she's underlined. And I often go to that book and I treasure that. But in her will, she said I was to have this picture. That was to be one of the memories. And I've often wondered why she wanted me to have that picture. I think it was to focus on Jesus. To focus on Jesus. And that's exactly what the family is to do. We're to focus on Jesus Christ. God has given us a mission. You've got a mission statement up here. And I've noticed things have changed over the years. And this is good. Your banners are great. We have a mission. There's a mission to take the gospel to the world, but every family has a mission. And in Genesis, and if you have your Bibles, you'll see the text on the screen, but look them up in your own translation because that may be more meaningful to you. So in the beginning, in that first book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, God says he created man in his own image. And then in the second chapter, he says that a man will leave his family, his parents, and he shall be joined, or he shall cleave. That's a very interesting word. And you'll notice there that in one translation it says, live in union with one another. It suggests harmony. It suggests a close relationship. That you're engaged with that person. And then the scripture says, once you are joined mentally, you're on the same wavelength, emotionally, spiritually, socially, then you become one flesh. I think that's a fascinating foundation for the mission of the family. So that when one hurts in a family, the other hurts also. Now, who's very good at maths? Do we have some primary school children here? Is there somebody in grade 2 or 3? Somebody in grade 2 or 3? Oh, I want you to come up the front with me just for a minute. Now, here we are. We've got a microphone here that works. Yep, fine. What grade are you in?
3.
You're in 3?
2.
Well, I'm going to ask you the question first. Is that all right?
Yes.
And is this your sister?
No?
Okay. All right, I'll give you the microphone. Now look, if you come over here, This is a very important thing. 1 + 1
is 2.
2. Oh, isn't that good? You didn't have, look, you sit there and I'm going to, yes, you can go back. That is very good. Excellent. 1 and 1 is 2. But God's mathematics are different, because in Genesis he says 1 and 1 will be 1. They shall be one flesh. One flesh. Matthew 19 is interesting. Jesus is talking, and he said, and two shall become one flesh. Two people shall become one. They're no longer one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. There's a connection. There are two people on the same wavelength. There are two people who have emotional bonds. There are two people who are doing things together socially. Marriage becomes the super glue in relationships. Marriage is a fusion. There's no stronger connection. Do we think, as married couples, that we are two or one? We need to get into God's mind of thinking that we are there for a purpose. Now, you can come and help me. Very good. What's your name?
Jessica.
Jessica, that's a lovely name. In grade 3. You must be 9? Going 9. Ah, I've got it. Fine. I want you to tell me what's happening in that picture. Have a look at that picture. In fact, you can look at this one. That's easier. Then Mum and Dad will see your face. All right? Can you tell us what's happening in that picture? Can you make a story up?
Like...
What's happening there?
Like there's two donkeys and they're like together and they want to go...
Can you hold the microphone right up close there? That's it. Now tell us again.
It's two donkeys and they're like together and they want to go different ways.
Oh, yeah. Some people are donkeys, aren't they? Yeah. Now look, I've got something else. What's happened there in the picture? What's happened to the donkeys now?
They go to the same one.
Oh, I think they must have talked together.
Yep.
In fact, I was at a church the other day and somebody said, well, the lady said to the man, listen, this is no good. We better do the same thing. Yeah. Well, it could have been the other way around, but look, yeah, that is good. You know, that tells me something. Thank you, Jessica, for helping me. That was very good. You're doing well. You'll be able to go to grade 4 next year. Yeah. But you know, life is not about going your own way as a married couple. It's about doing things together for the common good. And this is why Amos, that minor prophet, says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? We need to agree on the direction. Paul has a slightly different concept, and yet it's linked with this. Notice what he says. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. If something is part of us, if it's my finger, I know that it's hurting. If it's my toe, we look after the things that belong to the body. That's the way family is. And the family in the church is exactly the same. So couples who are married are not competing like those two donkeys, but they're working together for the good. I want you to notice, as I go through, I'm not going to look at all this, but I want you to notice what oneness in marriage really means. Now, I'm not going to read this column down here, where it's marriages that are divided. You'll do that quicker than I can speak, all right? But when there's a covenant, there's 100% from the male and from the female on that relationship. You're committed to the good of one another. There's a listening process. You're listening not only to the words, but to the emotions of the person. You become helpmates. You work together for the common good. You're looking at things from God's perspective. By the way, if anyone wants a copy of the whole sermon from here. You're welcome to it if you have a stick. In fact, they can put it on the computer and you can take that home with you or whatever. Fine. The couple who are linked with God's covenant work together, but they make mistakes, they confess, they apologize, they restore. There's discussion rather than argumentation. There is the oneness. Paul says that that same kind of unity is important in the local church, whether it's Epping, whether it's Bowral, or whether it's Calleyville, or wherever. Notice what it says there in Philippians. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. When I was growing up, there was a chap by the name of Phillips who made a very nice translation that appealed to me, and I still like reading Phillips. He says, when he translates this one, do make my joy complete, live together in harmony, live together in love, as though you only had one mind and one spirit between you. I think that's refreshing. And so that first cameo, that first snapshot of the family from Scripture is one of oneness. There's a unity. There's a harmony there. God created us. He cares for us, and He still cares for us. He created the family to demonstrate the same kind of unity that the Godhead had. We as families reflect the Godhead in many respects. Notice this. Marriage is important to God because each marriage is intended to be a cameo, a snapshot of the marriage between God and His people. Just as a new life results from a special oneness, so new birth comes from a relationship of oneness, unity, that relationship with God. One of the modern gurus in leadership is a chap by the name of Stephen Covey. He's written a lot of books. Seven Habits, some of you are familiar with that? Okay, fine. He says that we all start off dependent. But by the time we're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, we're flexing our muscles and our legs and we want to be independent. And he says,